Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? The apostles, we read in the epistle, ask this of our Lord before the ascension. Spera in Deo, quoniam aduc confitebor illi. The priest says every day at the foot of the altar with the servers, hope in God, for yet will I praise him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Ascension Thursday should be, for Catholics, not just a day to get in a mass of obligation, a sacrifice, however praiseworthy, so as to assist at the sacrifice of the Mass in the midst of a busy work day, but rather it should be a feast day, a day of triumph for our Lord, and a day of hope for us. God has gone up with jubilee, the choir sings today exultantly. The Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Up, up where? Remember, he has gone to prepare a place for us. And we hope one day to follow him there. And we could use in the meantime, however, as long as we're still here below, some sort of sense of triumph, couldn't we? Something, I mean, to give us hope. When even the lesson of today's Mass reminds us of how bad things are, we're still wondering, we the handful of believers, the apostles of the latter day, wilt thou restore the kingdom to Israel? The Catholics who are left see the church in such a state today of humiliation and of confusion. But today is a day of triumph. Consider the saint who now for a couple of years has been benignly looking out at you from right above the pulpit. Today is his day. Do you know who he is? He is the Pope of the Rosary. He is the Pope of the Mass, of our Mass. He is a Pope of victory, Saint Pius V. How consoling. His life shows us a little bit of triumph over the church's enemy, some sign of hope and some, always interesting, parallels. The first problem he faced is a problem that many are facing today. It is in their face, Christendom threatened by Muslims. Same today as back then, but with this difference, the real victory is won not by battles, finally, but by births. But that's the third rail, and nobody dares touch that. But in the meantime, back then, the trouble was that the governments, the kings and emperors, would not come together to fight a common foe. Our problem is that of the government for a generation and more, two generations, having set up a conflict and provoked wars which destroyed such order as there was in the Middle East and has provoked other wars and invasions and now flights of refugees and terrorists into what once was Christian Europe, and the governments wish to impose this new Mohammedan order on these old, formerly Christian countries. And then for us, we taste it perhaps more with the gradual, slow loss of our liberties. We find ourselves, especially if we want to travel, all of us to be, well, in effect, prisoners. hope in God, though, we pray. Back then, the Christian kings, I say, would not set aside their differences for a common foe, and I suppose our situation today, even amongst the Catholics who are left, is not all that much different. So many divisions, so little in the way of common action or support. What to do? What to do about it? Well, this great Pope loved Our Lady very much. He had a confidence in her rosary, but also a devotion that we share with him to the Mother of Good Counsel. He asked Our Lady what to do. That's what you have to do, you know. And she inspired him to choose a man for the admiral of his fleet, which would defeat Mohammedanism at Lepanto, the great battle, victory of the rosary, a man who grew up in the shadow of Our Lady of Good Counsel at Genenzano in Italy, so close to her miraculous picture, and got everyone to pray the rosary, and got the fleet equipped. It wasn't much of one, but it was going to have an astounding victory. And the flagship, did you know, of this fleet, the flagship had a little chapel there. And in the chapel was a picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe, who had only recently appeared in the New World. And she is our Empress. And did you know, too, that when that battle started, the Muslims saw a radiant lady appear in the sky, and they were frightened and put off their game by her majestic, threatening countenance. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? We're probably too dispirited today even to ask the question. Think of all of those who vainly hoped years ago that some pope of the Novus Ordo would restore everything. Some pitched their hope on Ratzinger, for example. And what did all of that come to? Why, nothing, nothing at all. But our situation is not hopeless. This is the feast day of hope. He who goes in triumph with clouds of angels and saints to prepare a place for us in heaven leaves us here below on earth with the gift and the virtue of hope. Our hope is not yesterday's history lesson, nor some abstract theology if you ever open a book. Hope is not a vague feeling that somehow, maybe, things will turn out okay in the end. Not at all. It is a supernatural gift of God by which we firmly trust that God will give us eternal life and all the means necessary if, big if, we do what he requires of us. It's a gift. We have no claim on hope. It is freely bestowed by God's mercy in the sacrament of baptism. It's a gift from God, from whom St. James just told us, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from heaven. It's supernatural. It's not part of our nature, like being able to reason or speak. It is not ours when we're born. Beautiful and sweet as those little babies are, they are born in sin. It is given to us when we are reborn in the font of baptism. This gift of God has its source in him, and it leads us back to him again. It is a gift of trust, inspiring trust. What does it mean? I trust. It has two parts, desire and expectation. Desire means a love for some particular thing, and expectation is confidence that you'll be able to get it. Take politics, for example. You may have a desire to see this country at the last hour straightened out. That's a desire. And that desire may lead you even to participate in politics, to follow it, to discuss it, to vote, I don't know. But do you have the expectation, the confidence of obtaining it? Not unless you're unusually naive, but you hope still that somehow, some way, God may intervene and make something of the mess which we have made of the gifts of God to us in this world. But trust means both desire and the expectation, yes, I'm going to get it. It's not something human then, you can easily see. Firmly do we hope, without fear of being deceived, resting on that solid foundation of our love for God and God's love for us, that will lead us to what? Eternal life, seeing God in heaven, the beatific vision, glory. That's the reason for the incarnation. That's the reason for our creation. The means to it, I firmly resolve to use. That is to say, to get the pardon of my sins, because sin keeps me away from eternal life, and God's grace. Last of all, what's required? It's very simple. Just observe God's law. What a wonderful example we have of that in Our Lady and the saints. Did you know that today is the day the first Mass was offered after the Last Supper itself? They went back, Our Lady and the Apostles did, to the cenacle, and there St. Peter offered the first Mass. Every day, as I say the prayers at the foot of the altar, usually by myself in the little side chapel because I have no server, but now and again there is one, I chide myself, I catch myself chiding myself. And I think that's the idea. The priest is meant to encourage himself again. Because either he or the server will say at the end of the 42nd Psalm, Spera in Deo, you hope in God, because yet still you will be praising him who is the health of my countenance, the salvation of my countenance and my God. And our Lord chides the apostles today too. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the moments. It is enough for us to be where the apostles were on this day with Our Lady, with those apostles, with the Mother of Good Counsel, praying the Holy Mass with hope and awaiting the solution of all of our needs from above, coming down from the Father of Lights. Let's conclude, if you know it by heart, reciting together that prayer which we should say every day. We've been saying after Mass every 3 weeks for a while now. That is to say, the act of hope. Do you remember it? Oh my God, relying on thy infinite goodness and promises, I hope to obtain the pardon of my sins, the help of thy grace, and life everlasting through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer. Amen. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.